Sorry, I haven't a clue. The antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the show with jokes to suit all ages, from the late Neolithic to the early Bronze. You join us for the start of a brand new series at the Theatre Royal in historic Bath. The city was originally called Aquae Sulis because of its spa, and visitors can still see the partial remains of a system of hot and cold water pipes begun by Roman plumbing engineers in 53 AD. Apparently they returned to Colchester in 54 AD to fetch parts from the depot, and despite a promise to return the following Thursday, have never been seen since. Local residents today, however, are concerned that the city has become a focus point for street performers, often shabby vagrants down on their luck, who in the hope of a few spare coins make shambling attempts to entertain a reluctant audience. Let me introduce you to four of them. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Paul Merton and Tim Brooke Taylor. And the warmest of welcomes, please, for the delightful lady who keeps an eye on the team's points and then gets them down on the desk next to me. A lovely scorer, Samantha. Oh. Our first round is entitled Official Sponsor, and it takes as its subject the ever-increasing role of advertising in the world of entertainment and sport. As an unashamed lover of public service broadcasting, I bitterly resent the creeping commercialism that's seen so many of our great artistic and sporting events taken over by the brand names of one product or another. It really makes me sick to the stomach, which is why I take Rennie's, for instance. Okay, teams, I'd like you please to provide some titles of well-known shows, programs, or sporting events that have suffered from overzealous sponsorship. Barry, will you start, please?
News at Tennant.
Paul.
Bring me the head and shoulders of Alfredo Garcia.
Graham.
One from the Duchess of York, Budgeons the helicopter.
Tim.
Prisoner of Cell Block, Preparation H.
The 4X Files.
Audi, they do that.
Walls Chalk Ice Station Zebra.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
The concert at the Albert Hall. I can't tell it's not Bartok.
A new show sponsored by the Meat Marketing Board, Prime Beef Suspect. with a theme tune sung by the artist formerly known as Mince.
And Top of the Alco Pops, featuring shredded wheat, wheat, wheat.
Lilettes Spend the Night Together.
Gardener's World of Leather.
Right. It says here that our next round is a musical one. It's called One Song to the Tune of Another, a cunning title that always seems to send the teams reeling in confusion, so a short explanation might be in order. One Song to the Tune of Another actually requires two songs, not just one, as might be inferred. However, as each has both words and a tune, this amounts to two sets of words and two tunes, or a minimum of four in total. What we do is mix these up. And, I see the team's already holding their heads in disbelief. They've fallen into the obvious trap of assuming one song is combined with another song and it's tuned with the other tune. But in fact, what they'll do is to combine two that weren't together before being separated, but were both separate and together with each of the other two. Now, this is where we come to the really... This is where we come to the really exciting bit, because what's happened as if by magic is that one song has been put to the tune of another. If you think you found that baffling, here's another random coupling. Colin Sell and the piano accompaniment. Okay, Barry, I'd like you to start by singing John Lennon's lovely song, Imagine, to the tune of The Sun Has Got His Hat On.
Imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try. No hell below us, up above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today, ha ha. Imagine there's no countries and it isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace, yoo-hoo. You say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will all be one. Yes.
Okay, Tim, would you please sing the children's classic The Mole in a Hole to the tune of The Blue Danube?
I'm not a bat or a rat or a cat. I'm not a gnu or a kangaroo. I'm not a goose or a moose on the loose. I am a mole and I live in a hole. Yak, yak, quack, quack. Fried, boiled, or roast. You're the slick chick I dig the most. I'm not a ram, or a clam, or a lamb. I'm not a hawk, or a frog, or a dog.
Never mind. Graham, would you please sing the words of the Marrow song to the tune of Smoke Gets in Your Eyes?
Down the road there lives a man I'd like you all to know. He grew a great big marrow for the local flower show. When the story got around, they came from far and wide. And when the people saw the marrow, every body cried. Oh, what a beauty, I've never seen one as big as that before. Oh, what a beauty, it must be 2 feet long, or even more. It's such a lovely color, and nice and round and fat. Thought a marrow could grow as big as that.
Finally, Paul, would you please sing the words of I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts to the tune of Girl from Ipanema?
A lovely bunch of coconuts, there they are, standing in the row, big ones, small ones, some as big as your head. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist, that's what the showman said. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Viva, viva!
What are you playing?
Playing.
Singing, roll a ball, a penny, a pitch. Singing, rollerball, a penny appeared. Singing rollerball, a penny appeared. Roll or bowl, a ball, roll or bowl, a ball, roll or bowl, a ball, a ball, a penny appeared. A penny appeared. A penny appeared. Remember, that's not available in the shops.
We come now to a round called Musical Chairs. In this game, I shall be testing the teams with general knowledge questions on the subject of the chair. The winner will go on to the final to meet Gilly Goulden, who did surprisingly well when I tested her on the sofa. Right. Colin will start us off by playing some light music on the piano. The moment the music stops, the first to buzz gets the chance to answer a question. Okay, take it away, Colin. Anybody fancy buzzing?
I know that.
I thought I did.
Oh, did you? Okay, Barry, we'll start off with an old English folk riddle. Riddle me, riddle me, riddle me, re. I've got four legs, one back, and I'm made from a tree. What am I?
Robson and Jerome. Chair.
Yeah.
Robson and Jerome, chair.
Yeah.
Get them in habit.
All right. Okay, Colin, play some more music.
Repetition of the same music.
What can you get if you don't like stools in the kitchen?
A pooper scoop? Could it be a chair?
Oh. You're nearly there.
Ah.
One more letter.
Chairs.
Yes. Ah.
A chairs.
Colin, you meant to play the same tune every time. I mean, there are other tunes. Who was that?
Anybody when they've heard the question.
Okay, right. Traditionally, which member of a panel game is the wittiest and most respected?
Is there a chair called Nicholas Parsons? It was an electric one, I think.
You don't know, do you?
No idea. No,
it's the chair.
Oh, gosh. I'm detecting a theme.
Oh. It's working my big mouth. What? How about this? In the olden days, how might the old and infirm people of Bath have been pushed around?
By teddy boys. Chair.
Chair.
Teddy boys, chair.
No, a bit more. I want a bit more than that.
Teddy boy's chair hump.
That'll do.
Bristol chair.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Our next game is called... Our next game is called Straight Face. This has no connection with a similar game called Gay Face, in which all the contestants line up, and the one who looks most like Liberace wins. In this game, team members must exchange humour-free words on a given subject. The object is to fail to get laughs from our studio audience, the winner being the person to amuse the audience the least. Okay, teams, I'd like you to take it in turns to exchange words on the subject of politics. And remember, the slightest titter from the audience will result in immediate disqualification. Right, Paul, would you start, please?
Landslide.
Ballot.
Deposit.
Mandate.
Portillo.
Tim, I should warn you, you're getting very close to a titter. Right, Graham.
Widdicombe.
Darling.
Sorry, I heard a titter there. You're right, Graham.
Great.
So we go on to, who do we go on to now? Tim.
Whip.
Gummer.
Mella.
Toe.
I warned you, Tim. I warned you. So it's between Barry and Paul now. Okay? Carry on, Barry.
Sleaze.
Hamilton.
Bell.
Book.
Mace.
Portillo.
Lily.
What? You're not allowed to use the same name twice. In fact, now I look at the rules, you're not actually allowed to use a proper name anyway.
Portillo is not a proper name.
Right. Well done, Graham. We come now to a game... We come now to a game called Uncommentators. In this round, teams, we shall look back through the swirling mist of history at certain pivotal events. Teams, I'd like you each to provide a commentary on a certain historic event, but relayed in the style of some of today's more interesting social commentators. Paul and Tim, would you please provide a commentary on the Great Plague in the style of Richard and Judy?
Hello and welcome to this morning. I'm Richard.
Hello, I'm Judy. Wobble. Wobble, wobble.
And coming up on the show at 10:45, our animal expert will be explaining why rats don't necessarily make ideal household pets. And at 11:18, our garden expert will be showing us how a handful of daffodils, tulips and bluebells can brighten up that plague pit at the end of your garden.
I can't wait for that. At 11:26, 10 ways to spot if you've got the plague.
If you've got more than 10 spots, you've got the plague.
And at about 11:47, Jane Asher will bake a cake.
Delicious. My mouth is watering already.
Yum, yum, I say.
And at 11:48, the big debate. Are shrouds sexy?
I think so. I've ordered yours. If, at 11:51, if you've got a stinking corpse in your living room covered in unsightly pustules, we ask the question, how about a makeover?
But first, straight from top of the pops, the Spice Girls with their single, I Tell You What You've Got, What You've Really, Really Got.
Barry and Graham, I'd like you to provide a commentary on the Charge of the Light Brigade in the style of Jeremy Paxman and Peter Snow.
Lord Cardigan, did you ever threaten to overrule the... Did you ever threaten to overrule the order to charge?
Let me be perfectly clear about this. The order to charge went ahead.
Did you ever threaten to overrule the order to charge?
No, clearly I didn't overrule the order.
Let me put it this way. Did you threaten to overrule the order to charge?
This is an operational matter. Nothing to do with me.
Come on. Over to Peter Snow.
Well, here we are, what we call the Valley of Death. Just a little bit of fun, And over here, Over here, I haven't got much time, come on. Over here, the Light Brigade, over there, the Russian guns, and here they come, half a league, just half a league, half a league, just a little bit of fun. Cannons right there, you can see the cannons to the left there, and off go the cannons, boom, yippee. And if that result, oh dear me, if that result is repeated right across the battlefield, we're going to see not 600, not 500, not 400, look, they're all going red. Oh, it's going to be a massacre.
Lord Cardigan.
Oh, God.
Our next round is a new one called What's Up, Doc? In it, the team should take it in turns to be consultants interviewing two patients suffering from a mysterious medical condition known only to themselves. The consultants should ask some questions in order to provide a diagnosis. We have to say thank you for devising this game to our resident doctor, Graham Garden, who as a pioneering GP was engaged in an unusual practice before eventually being discovered. Okay. Barry and Graham, you're going to be the first patients. Your condition will now be relayed to our theatre audience via the multimedia, digitally interactive, Pentium-processed, widescreen laser display board, so generously funded by our hosts. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Monologism. They can only give one-word answers. Monologism. They can only give one-word answers.
Okay, I think it's Tim and Paul. You start off.
Right.
Does it hurt?
No.
No.
Will it clear up of its own accord if you don't scratch it?
Hopefully. Possibly.
Will New Labour make it any better?
Eventually.
Would it help if you were both put into isolation?
No.
Separately?
No.
If I can give you a little clue here, because I've got a gig in Hull on Thursday. Pay particular attention, not so much to what they say, as to the way in which they say it.
Are they terminally hesitant?
Can they only speak one word at a time?
Yes.
That's it.
Now, it's your turn to be the patients now, Tim and Paul, and the identity of your mysterious medical condition is now being broadcast to our audience via the laser display. Here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
They both have phantom pregnancies. They both have phantom pregnancies.
Is this very humorous?
Not for us. Fancy a piece of coal, Paul?
I might dip a bit of nutty slack in me tea, yes.
You're pregnant.
I don't know that we are, actually.
I think we're now stuffed, but that's a bit... It's odd, because nothing showed up on the X-ray, did it?
No.
You think you're pregnant.
Can you put that in more technical terms?
In up more. The duff?
In the club?
We're
pregnant at the opera.
They what?
We're pregnant at the opera.
Phantom pregnancy.
Ah! Okay. We have an interesting round now. I'll say that again. We have an interesting round now. It's a game devised by Barry Cryer called Not in the Mood, a title suggested for him by a woman he met at a party last week. And indeed, every other woman he's ever asked the same question since 1967. In this round, I'd like the teams to sing well-known songs of my choosing, but to alter the lyrics as they go along so as to reverse the original mood or sense of the song. Piano accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. Now, collectors of music trivia may be interested to learn that Colin was on the original Route 66. But then it went over to one-man-operated buses. We'll start with you, Paul and Tim, and your reversed mood song is the lovely ballad Summertime.
Wintertime. And the dying is difficult.
fish are belly up.
Oh, yes, they are.
And the cotton is low.
Oh, it's so low, it's so low.
Your daddy's skin.
He's so skin.
And your ma is Ann Whittacomb.
So shut up, little baby.
Your turn, Barry and Graham. Will you please give the reverse mood treatment to the song Happiness?
Misery, misery, the most useless liability I've ever been lumbered with.
I curse the fates that I've been blighted with more than my share of abject desolation.
To me, this world is a bag of shame. I'm the unluckiest bastard in the human race. I've got no silver and I've got no gold. That's why I've got misery in my soul.
Misery to me is an ocean tide, a torrential downpour on a mountainside, an absolute hell as dark as pitch when I'm in the arms of Michael Howard.
Misery, misery, the most useless liability I've been lumbered with. I curse the fates that I've been blighted with more than my share of abject desolation. Misery!
Well, it's nearly time to end the show, but there's just time to squeeze in a round of Smokers Film Club. So, while Samantha nips backstage to enjoy 20 king-size players... I'd like you teams to suggest movie titles likely to delight an audience of smokers. And Tim, will you start, please?
Who's Afraid of Virginia Slims?
Car Wars.
Now, part of the Star Wars trilogy, of course, is The Empire Strikes a Light.
Look Who's Toking.
Reservoir Doggins.
Full Menthol Packet.
One of the greatest detective films ever made, The Lung Goodbye. Starring Chesty Conklin. And Stuffy Kay.
El Sig.
Cheroots of Fire.
Hamlet.
Gasper, the Friendly Ghost.
Look Back in Anger.
Jurassic Park Drive. See the Bronchitis Walk.
Follow That Camel.
Turtles too. And so...
Bring me the Benson and Hedges of Alfredo.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the Neil Hamilton of time meets the Martin Bell of destiny, and the airport extension of life confronts the swampy of eternity, I notice it's the end of the show. So we'll be back next week for more of the same. In the meantime, it's goodbye from Samantha, the teams, myself, and the good people of Bath. Goodbye.
Taylor, Barry Cryer, Graham Garden and Paul Merton have been given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.